Blog Talk Radio.
Now AT&T has a deal that everyone is watching. Or is it that AT&T has a deal that's all about a watch? Actually, it's both. Because now you can save $100 on the Moto 360 smartwatch when you buy the new Moto X smartphone for zero down on AT&T Next. The sleek stainless steel Moto 360 is more than a wristwatch. It's a versatile tool that syncs with your new Moto X to send texts, set reminders, and get directions by voice command. And it also records your activity levels, giving you extra motivation to reach your fitness goals. So really, this isn't a deal about a watch. It's about time. Time to go to AT&T. Save $100 on the Moto 360 smartwatch when you buy the new Moto X smartphone for zero down on AT&T Next. AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Bundle offer ends 4/9/15. Select locations must purchase smartphone on AT&T Next and activate wireless service with a qualifying rate plan. Well-qualified credit required. Fees and other charges and restrictions apply. Certain watch functionality requires pairing with compatible smartphone. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Well, hello there. Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet broadcast. As stated by the Gregory Bunton, I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and this is an internet program that's brought to you every week to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be. I'd like to thank you for tuning in once again, and we pray that things have been going well for you last week, and we're going to have a great time this morning. We're bringing in two great guests that we pray that be a blessing to you, that inspire you to get up and do something, because I know that you have that a desire to do something. If not, you wouldn't be listening to this program. I know that you want to be involved in something. If not, you wouldn't be listening to this program. I know that you want to make a difference in someone's life. If not, you wouldn't be listening to this program. And talk about making a difference. As you log on to this here internet program, you'll see a template that says change your life. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. Guess what? Someone changed my life by telling me about someone that holds my life in their hand, which is Jesus Christ. And that person made a difference in my life there by telling me about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this program is dedicated to our young people, to inform our young people that God hadn't forgotten about them, to let them know that there's opportunities that's available for them, there's ministry that's available for them. But we also have to challenge our young people that they have to get involved, that they have to kind of be active in their life and their goals and their desires. You know, God is going to bless them more than they can ever imagine, but they got to participate in this blessing. If you want to go to school, you want to get an education, you got to present yourself. You got to make yourself available to be used by God. And I'm going to come back to that, but before we go any further, we'd just like to say hello to Beverly Beasley and her staff over at Granny's Place. They sponsor this program each and every week, and we thank God for them and their dedication and their commitment. Last weekend, we went over to the Boys and Girls Club that's located here in Dallas, Texas, and so we were blessed over there. They had a summer program over there, and a lot of young men and women came out. We had a basketball tournament. We had a clothing giveaway, and the neighborhood was blessed, and we thank God for it. So keep it up, Sister Beasley and her staff over there at Granny's Place. We'd like to say hello to Reverend Turley over at the First Free Will Baptist Church. That's the church that we hold our computer training class over there. And so we want to thank him for continually to open the door and making space for us to do our computer training class. And those young men come out every week to attend the services over there. Our computer classes are only biweekly. It's twice a month. But the young men are encouraged and they're looking forward to it. And they're learning quite a bit. They're learning quite a bit. And we want to take it a little step higher, because right now the young men are preparing themselves to have a Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and we've been working on that, and we're excited about it. We're looking forward to them young men, for those young men to come on and share things with you concerning things that that they're interested in. You know, this program is geared up towards our young people. We want to hear from our young people. We want to hear from them. We want to see what's on their mind, what they're talking about, the things that they're wrestling with. Because guess what? They're going through some things. But yet we have young men and women that's willing to say, hey, I want to stop the madness, not only for myself but for my friends also. And so we're looking forward to that. Let's say hello to the brothers down at the Hutchinson Jail Unit, Delta Dorm in particular. That's one where we go down there once a week and we do a Bible study down there. And we had quite a bit of guys came out to our Bible study last Thursday. We had 19 men to show up, and it was a blessing. And the air conditioning down there wasn't quite right, but what you expect? You in jail. That's what I told the guy. The man, it's hot in here. I said, brother, you're going to go to a place that's going to be even hotter if you don't do right. And then, you know, we had a great time in our Bible study. We started a new study program down there. It's in the Bible, out of the book of Hebrews. And then we call it our New Testament survey, where we talk about the patriarchs in Hebrews 11, where God called them faithful. But then we go back to Genesis and we study about those characters and those patriarchs and see why God called us faithful and them faithful. And maybe God can call us faithful. You know, one guy that we talked about was Enoch, and it kind of got the guy's curiosity up because Enoch lived a life before God, and he lived a greater life after God. They say he lived 65 years before he had a relationship with God, but yet after God, he lived 300 years. And I got to thinking, man, I said, that's our calendar year, 365 days. And the brother said, wow, man, that's cold. I said, wait a minute, maybe I need to rethink this. Maybe I need to redirect my course in life. I said, brother, I think you got a hold to something there. So we pray that those brothers continually to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And as we get ready to bring our guests on here in shortly, I'd just like to let you know that today we have an outing over at the Juvenile Center here in Dallas. We're going to go over there and encourage some young men, and we thank God for it. We pray that what we're doing makes a difference in the life of our young people. And guess what? Sometimes we would never, ever know, but God knows. God knows. And our first guest that's going to come on this morning is going to be a young lady that I'm very proud of, and I'm very honored to have her to come on the show, Brittany Tabor. She's a reporter for a local magazine here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and she's going to talk to us about her experience in the reporting field and working for a large news organization and the type of education that was required to get in that position there. And that education is available to anyone that asks, you know, and I'm saying that because it ain't so much as the finance, but make yourself available for a better way of life. Don't just sit there and talk about what you want to do. Get up and do something. You know, make good use of your time here. Amen. And she's going to come on and she's going to share. And then we have another young man, and I call everyone young, Brother Monroe. He's our program director down at one of the juvenile centers here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he's going to come on and share about some experiences and how much of a blessing this type of program are to our young men that's incarcerated. Because we deal with young men from 12 to 17 years old. And can you imagine that at you 12 years old, you incarcerated, you separated from your family, you feel like don't nobody love you, don't nobody understand you, and then you get out and you go around people that are doing the craziness like you are, and that becomes your family. And then you lose all connection with your real family, so you just keep living a crazy lifestyle. So we're trying to break that cycle. We're trying to break it as a ministry, you know, as a ministry for one plants and one waters, but God and only God gives the increase. Amen. So as you listen to this program, we pray that you see us you get a sense of urgency to help out, to participate, not only in this here ministry that we share with you, but also at your local church. You know, if they don't have an outreach ministry, a jail ministry, or a food pantry, or whatever it may be, try to start one. Talk to your leaders at church there. And ask them, say, hey, I see there's a need in our neighborhood. I want to get involved, and I want to make a difference. You know, I want God to make a difference, not me, but I want God to make a difference. I want to be the hands of God. I want to be the eyes of God. I want to be the heart of God. I want to be the feet of God, you know. And guess what? God is no respecter person. For what he done for one organization, he'll do for another. Because this is God's business here. Amen. This is God's business. And as we get ready for our guest to come on, I just like to just remind you that we have another internet program that's on this Blog Talk Network. Comes on every Monday at 8 to 9. It's called My Sister, My Friend. It's headed up by Sister Beasley and LaShondra Lewis, and they do a Blog Talk program that's geared up towards our young women and women's in general. And so they talk about women issues, and I've been very pleased and honored to help them set that up. So we're working out some bugs in it, but like anything, that's just a challenge, you know. And I love challenges because it just makes a better person out of you. It just strengthens your character. You know, if nothing ever go wrong, then you can never know how to handle situations. So, but it's great to be for those women to take up the challenge, for them to make themselves available to be used by God and to share the goodness of God in their life. Amen. And so, again, our call-in number, let me pass this. Our call-in number is 310-982-4126. That's our call-in number. It's 310-982-4126. It will be our call-in number, and then that way you can just call in and being blessed by what's going on. Amen. And so, rephrase this and restate this, that we have a computer training class that's held over at Free Will Baptist Church in the Duncanville area. It's a free program. It teaches our young men computer skills, how to repair computers, how to update computers. It's installing the CD-ROM, DVD-ROM drive, how to add memory to a computer. Also, how to remove viruses from a computer. And so we're looking forward to that, and we're excited about that, the young men. And they call me from time to time, and they tell me, hey, I got a computer at home, or I'm with a relative or a friend, and this is what's going on with the computer. And I talk to them, and they're able to work it out. And sometimes they just call and let me know that they're unable to. Amen. So we'll get our guests calling in here shortly. Amen. So we're going to bring them in. Amen. And so just hold on just for a second here. And we got them just coming in. Amen. And we go. And we're going to bring our guests in. We're going to give them a call. I see right now they're unable to give us a call. So we're going to call them up. Amen. So just hold on and just bear with us here. And we're going to bring them in right away. And you're going to be blessed. Amen. Amen. So we're dialing her up right now and looking forward to it.
Hello?
Good morning, Brittany Taylor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. You're on the net here. Welcome to our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside. Brittany, I'm so pleased and honored for you to be a guest on our show. Will you please introduce yourself to our listening audience?
Well, my name is Brittany. I'm a journalist here in the North Texas area, and I write about education. I write about what's going on in the schools with kids in pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. I also attend the school board meetings and find out what kind of policies are being made for the school district, and also kind of deal with how they're spending the money of the school district. So it's a whole bunch of different areas that cover. But it's pretty exciting.
I bet you it is. Now, Brittany, how did you get to where you are now? Because I knew that it took a time of preparation and education. So would you please share that with our listening audience?
Okay. Well, I started as a child. I really enjoy writing. And so I started taking journalism classes in high school. And that just kind of gave me a feel of what I was going into as a career. I also learned the basics there. But we also have a newspaper at our school, so I also got a chance to practice those basics by writing for our local newspaper. And that was pretty fun because I got to cover the Dallas Mavericks in high school once and then write about it for my high school newspaper. So that was a lot of fun, and then that kind of helped set me up for college because I was able to use that those tools that I learned in high school when I went to college. And I attended UT Arlington, and I worked on the school newspaper there. And it was a lot of fun because it was like a real newspaper. You know, they paid you and you got to get the experience of what it would be like to work at a real newspaper. I took classes in journalism while I was there. I also took broadcast classes, so I learned how to write for a newspaper. I learned how to take photographs. I also learned how to work a radio show. So, like, there was once a week where I would host my own radio show and play music. And then I also learned how to pick up a video camera and go out and interview people and shoot video and then come back and edit that video. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, Brittany, when did you first realize that this is something that you wanted to get into? Because I know our young people, and they kind of searching for what they want to do. What gave you the desire and the passion to say, hey, this is what I would like to do as a career?
Well, as I mentioned before, when I was younger, I just enjoyed writing a lot. I loved writing short stories and things like that. And I was an athlete in junior high, and I wasn't that good of an athlete, but I enjoyed that. But I left that and decided if I'm not going to, you know, play sports, I was interested in writing sports. So that's kind of how I got into it in high school. I was interested in going on the right sports and things of that sort. So that's pretty much how it started. I just had a desire for writing. I love telling stories, and that's basically what I get to do every day is I get to share other people's stories with a large mass of people. I mean, people pick up our stories on the Internet. They're sent to people's doorsteps every morning in the newspaper, so that's pretty much how it started. I just had a desire for writing. I enjoyed telling people stories.
Oh, that's great. I know as we was talking earlier, your target audience, if I'm saying that right, is the one that you write about is from a pre-K to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yes, sir.
Tell me how much of a joy it is when young adults see that their name is in print and what they're doing is being written up.
Oh, man, it's crazy because, I mean, I'll go to some schools and when they find out I'm a reporter, they're like, oh, can you interview me? And I think it's crazy because I think sometimes it's more of a joy for their parents than it is them because I get the emails from the parents, you know, like, thank you so much for sharing my child's story in the paper. And, you know, I think it's exciting for them because they can share it with their friends. You know, some of them come up to the newspaper office and get extra copies, you know, so they can show it off to their teachers and show it off to their friends. So I think that's really exciting for them sometimes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, Brittany, if someone would like to get into your line of work, what would you tell them to do this, how to get started and to be able to pursue that goal and be successful at it?
Okay. I would encourage them to, like, take journalism classes in college or also start in high school because I think that's where you get your basics, you know. You get to learn all the ins and outs of the field. And then also just doing internships because that's where you get your experience. And those experiences will help lead to your first job. And don't be afraid to do an internship for free. I know that when I was in college, I just wanted that experience, you know, just so I could get my name out there. And then, you know, just so I could improve my skills as a journalist. So I took an internship for free, and I drove maybe 30 to 40 miles twice a week out to a newspaper. And I'm like, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And I was covering city meetings. I was covering education meetings. And I was able to write stories on that. And from there, that helped me to get those paid internships. And I was able to go on and intern in New York and intern in Kentucky. So that was really good for me, you know, because I'm learning from professional journalists that are already in the field. They're giving me tips on what I need to do to improve my writing, what I need to do to improve my interview skills and things of that sort. I would also encourage young people to join different journalist organizations because there you find your mentors, you find your support system. And for me, that's also what helped me land some of my first big paid internships was being in those different journalism organizations. I was also able to get scholarships for college while I was going through school just by being a part of those journalism organizations.
Amen, amen. And you mentioned something a while ago, mentoring. Now, even in your line of work, do you see that there's a necessity to have a mentor to walk beside you, to encourage you, and even guide you in some things?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm probably like 5 years in full time, and I still feel like, you know, I don't know it all. And so I have different mentors that I call on when I'm not too sure about if I'm doing the right thing or just to kind of bounce some ideas off of. I just know recently I was able to call one of my mentors that I have when I worked at the newspaper in New York, and she was able to give me some helpful information. And then sometimes, you know, just having those mentors there, they're inspirational in effect because they'll show you your worth and how good you are and not to give up on it, you know. And that's really refreshing when, you know, sometimes you can get down on, am I doing the right thing? You have that support system to fall back on that tells them, you know, you're really doing good things out there, you know, and they're also giving you tips for how you can improve.
That's great. That's great. Oh, this is a great interview. Now, Brittany, you've been a young lady and very successful in your line of career because you're pursuing your goal. How do you keep yourself rooted and grounded and keep from going off the deep end because you're able to do some things?
I would say staying positive because, I mean, in my profession, no job is ever the same. I mean, no day is ever the same. There's excitement about the job. You get to go out and talk to people. But there's also those moments where you have those tragedies that you have to cover. And that's really hard, you know, when you might have somebody that dies in a fatal accident and you might have to go out and cover that. And you have to talk to their family. And you just have to stay prayed up in situations like that, you know. You have to say, you know, God, help me through this because I need some strength from somewhere because sometimes you can really get down on the job, but it's just where you have to go and say, you know, Lord, I need some help in this area. If I'm going to be able to go forth and tell this person's story and send some inspiration in this story where it uplifts someone else.
Amen, amen. I'm so glad to hear you say that we need to have God in our life. Brittany, this has been a great interview, and I am very pleased that God is doing great things in your life. And as we get ready to wind down this interview, we'd just like to just thank you once again. And as we get ready to go, I'd just like you to just one more time to just give us a word of encouragement for our young people that's pursuing their goal, and they may think it's out of reach. What would you tell someone?
I would just tell them, you know, stay confident, stay prayed up. You know, you might have some times where you feel like you're not doing a good job, but it's all a learning experience. You make mistakes, but you learn from those mistakes. And I mean, that's how you grow is, you know, you make mistakes and you learn from them and you go on to the next phase in your life. So don't be afraid to make mistakes, but also don't be afraid to ask people questions. Don't be afraid to ask for help. If you don't understand something, ask for help. You know, that's the only way you're going to grow.
Hey, all right. Well, thank you very much. Brittany, it's been a great interview, and we're so pleased to have you to come aboard and share your experience with our young people. And we know that someone is going to be blessed by your words of encouragement.
Oh, no problem.
And we're looking forward to having you to be a guest on our show at a later date to give us an update to encourage us.
Okay, great.
Well, great. Well, you have a blessed day, and we'll be talking soon.
Okay, thank you.
Right, great.
Bye.
Oh, what a great interview we had there. Hey, man, what a great interview there. Hey, man, with Brittany Table there. Hey, man. About her experience in the news industry and how she's a reporter and the excitement that the young people have when they see their name in print. And you know what? That interview there was just it's an interview of encouragement, to encourage people to be all they can be, encourage people that God have great things in store for them, encourage people to pursue their goals in life. Amen. Amen. And we want to thank Sister Brittany for coming on board there. And again, that call-in number is 310-982-4126 is our call-in number, and you can give us a call and you can say hello to our guest and just give us a word of encouragement and let us know if that's anything we can do for you. Now, also, I want to mention to you about our website. It's Granny's Place, www.grannysplace.org. Go to that website and you can see what's going on. You can read about our mission statement. You can see about read about the activities in which we're involved in. And you can also, we also have a volunteer link on that site there where if you would like to be involved or like to know more about the things that we're coming to you each and every week and that we're sharing with you, and you can just give us a call and just get involved in that. And our volunteer coordinator is Sister LaShondra Lewis, and she'll be able to direct you and encourage you and to be able to get you involved in ministry. Amen. And then we'll call up our next guest here, Brother Monroe. He's going to come aboard and going to share with us things going on in juvenile ministry.
Hello?
Amen. Good morning. This is Brother Joel Lewis from Blog Talk. Brother Monroe in.
Oh, this is Brittany.
Brittany. Oh, I'm sorry, Brittany. Let me.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay. All right, great. Well, God bless you. Amen. Amen. We end up by our excitement got in the wrong personnel, so we're going to erase. Oh, okay then. All right then, Brittany, we're going to call up our next guest. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Amen. And that's Sister Brittany there. She was our guest on the line there. Amen. And I guess we got our numbers tied up there for just a second. But we're going to bring in Brother Monroe here, and we're going to let him come here. You know, as I was telling people there, that, you know, sometimes these things, they get out, it's exciting because every program is totally different. But you know what? I like it because we're going to do this again, you know. We're going to do it each and every time that God allowed us to do it. And we got Brother Monroe coming up right now. Amen. We got that number coming in.
Hello, Monroe speaking.
Good morning, Brother Monroe. This is Brother Joel Lewis. You're on the net.
All right. Good to talk with you, Brother Lewis. How are you doing?
Welcome. What's the time today?
We've got static on the line. Okay.
Yes, sir. Then we're going to try to clear that up. Brother Monroe, will you introduce yourself and tell us about the ministry in which God allowed your hands to be a part of?
All right, I'll be happy to. My name is Monroe Walk, and I'm a lay witness in the jail system here in Dallas, Texas, as well as a participant in juvenile visitation program here in Dallas as well. And I've been a member of this group, which is called Operation Timothy, for many years. We started in 1995, going into the local state jail, which just opened up, and has been going ever since, once a week on Thursday night to hold a Bible study for Christians in prison, who needed uplift and fellowship and support. And then also we, part of our group, along with others, go into the local county juvenile detention center, which is called the Henry Wade Detention Center, and visit young juveniles, kids who are usually around 13 to 17 years of age. and after that they have to go somewhere else when they're older. So we break up into to go in different sections of the unit to cover dorms that have the kids in there, usually from 10 to 20 in each dorm. So each of us try to cover two dorms, maybe more if we have the time, to present the gospel to the juveniles. In the state jails, we hold Bible study, and we are able to continue on longer there, up to 2 hours, whereas with the juvenile detention, we generally have about 30 to 45 minutes per dorm. So
amen.
That's what we do.
All right. Brother Monroe, will you please tell us how long you've been involved in that and what allows you to get involved in that ministry? Because we know that's a worthwhile ministry, but what drives you to keep going week after week?
The Lord called us and made provision for us in different ways through other people. Actually, a member of our church, Bill Stafford, helped organize the state jail visitation. Both he and I were traveling throughout the state of Texas to different prisons with other people from across the state, organized under another prison ministry program. But you would go travel across the state, and you'd visit one month, and then the next month you'd visit another. And we felt like over time wasn't enough people to do follow-up. It was supposed to be local congregations do follow-up, and in many cases that didn't happen. So when the state expanded the jail program, the prison program, because they were getting so many inmates, they started building them throughout the state, called state jails. And this was people who would stay in only for 2 years, and if they had longer sentences, then they'd get moved to a larger, longer-standing prison. So Bill Stafford organized a group of us who were visiting around the state into coming into the local state jail so we could come and visit weekly rather than just once a month. And so that's how the program started. And we're able to, you know, come in and hold a Bible study and build the men up. And we also receive those who have are presented with a crusade program or a program where we're in the end of the year, there's other ministries come in and hold a gospel presentation, and those men who come forward to the Lord, then they will eventually come to our Bible study, because we agreed to do follow up for these ministries. And building these men up who just came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that's how we're able to facilitate the build-up of Christians in long-term stay in the state jails.
Amen, amen. Now, Brother Monroe, will you please show us with our listening audience the benefits that it is to have ministries like that geared towards our young people, and what a difference it's making in our juvenile.
Yes, we're able to see, well, with the state jail inmates, we get more personal contact. We have, more interaction because we're there 2 hours and studying the Bible, and we hear their growth in the Lord as they attempt to experience it in jail. And we tell them that, you know, if you can withstand, hold your faith in jail, then you can hold it in the free world, because there's more hostility toward your faith in jail than you'll encounter outside. So if you can build your faith up, you know, you're able to hold it when you leave. And so they're glad to know that there's fellowship and there's other brothers around that they didn't know about in the facility. When they come in for a group study, they see others, and they support one another after they know who is believers as well as they. So that's one way. And then we hear their stories and that sort of thing. But if the juveniles is different in that we usually don't see them but once, maybe twice, because their stay in the juvenile system is limited to about 30 days. And they go to hearings, 18 to 30 days, and they go to hearings, and then they get placed into longer-term facilities or they get released to the parents, or they stay a little longer in the current facility. So it's not often we get very rarely do we get any direct input from them, except rarely we are able to, when we hand out our bookmarks, we have on the back an address they can write to. We can't get their names or addresses, but they can get ours. And so we have our church address with Operation Timothy on it, and they can write and ask for more information, more support, or just communicate. And every now and then we do get a reply, and I have some examples here of both from both the state prison and from the juvenile detention of how people would write in and express their thanks or express request for a specific kind of help. And so that's uplifting, and that keeps us going, but we also can see the benefit in their responses when we present and ask for a commitment to the Lord after our presentation. This is to the juveniles especially. Then the response that they give us back tells us that it's worthwhile and that they do respond. So we ask them to pray, and we tell them you don't have to pray. The Lord only wants us to come to Him when we're ready and when we are prepared, and He doesn't want to force anybody into His kingdom with Him. So some pray and some don't, and then we hand out Bibles and we hand out the materials. And tell them how to read and get familiar with the Bible, and to get familiar with the Lord and how to pray and so forth. So we have handouts that help them as well as we give them instructions that way too. So usually there's a lot of times the supervisors will participate with us, and they're Christian. Some of them are Christian, and so they sometimes ask questions, or they give up. A testimony to us about their faith. So that's uplifting too. And we always give handouts to them too. So we're always encouraged by the fact that we're trying to reach people in a different way than that they normally have. A lot of them have been in church before. Some of them have accepted Christ, but they've never had it explained the way we lay people explain it differently than maybe pastors from their churches would explain. And so we try to make it as clear as we can and as understandable and as fulfilling and life-changing as a commitment to the faith, to the Lord we'll give them. And so that's always uplifting for us when they ask questions and afterwards, after our presentation.
Amen.
So that's how we know that.
Okay, you had shared with me earlier about a letter that you had received from one of our juveniles. Would you be able to share a portion of that with us?
Yes. This was written to one of our participants that go in with us. And her name is Sarah. And she wrote this to the Operation Timothy address at our church, and then I gave it to Sarah later. Okay, it starts off, "Dear Sarah, it's me, Nina," I'm not going to read the last name, "from the Juvenile Detention Center," and that she's Hispanic. "Remember, I love Jesus with my whole heart. When you came in, I could tell right away that you love Jesus a lot. I pray for you every night, and I know that I will never forget you. I couldn't write I couldn't write until now because lots have been happening. One of the facility inmates' brother died, and she was very upset that day. I have court hearings on March the 9th. I am really hoping I have a 4-0. That's the grade system they give them, so that I can go to the placement that they get placed out of the facility. I have no family now, but at least I have God. I didn't have no one to write to until now. Thanks a lot now. I can write to you. I forgive my uncle for raping me. At first I thought I could never forgive him or my family, but now God has helped me do that with my family. My family blamed me for what happened to me, and they all thought that I was lying about it. When church people come, I feel so excited because I love to praise and worship God. I would always make up excuses about stuff so I wouldn't have to read the Bible. I would say that I don't have nowhere to start reading in the Bible. That was my excuse. Now I have so many things to read about the Bible. It's not even funny. I feel like I could sing and praise God all day long. I've gotten now where I could pray God and read the Bible all day. God has made a great improvement in my life. I finally realize I'm not alone in this world, and I do have someone who loves me. I could talk to God for hours about my problems, and almost through. I know that He will never discourage me, and I'm going to try to learn all I can about Jesus and God. I want to get as much information as I can about my Father God. I'm hoping that I can leave on March the 9th. I love you, Sarah. You have really been an angel to me. I will continue to write to you. Sincerely, Nina. And that's the end of that letter. So you can see how uplifting it is when you get one like this, which is not very often, but it's nice to know that there's impact occurring with the kids that you talk to.
Exactly. What age would you say Nina would be?
I'm sorry? What age
would you say?
Say yeah, she was, like I say, I don't know her, didn't know this person individually, and I'm guessing 15 years old.
Okay.
Her writing is not, up to pure English standards. I mean, what you learned in school, but it's enough to communicate. And so I appreciate it. Now, the other two letters I have here, two from inmates at the state jail, are exceptional too, in that they are very well written and very well stated. One wrote a poem about the Messiah. The other one was telling me about his thankfulness for his participation in our Bible study, and then asked for a letter of application, to get placed because he's about to get released. So he's okay. Looking for a halfway house, and we help.
All right, share that one with us, part of that one, if you can.
Which one, the poem or the letter?
The letter of appreciation.
Okay. All right, it says, my name is Arthur. I'm president of Student Operation Timothy. My instructor here at Hudson State Jail, Mr. Monroe. We're studying a lay witness Bible study, the passage that I can understand that I'm a believer in the gospel of Christ and am chosen to witness or to the grace of the love of God in Christ, whom I choose today as my Savior and Lord. My purpose and hope is to say thank you for coming to the prison to teach the messages to guide us as believers through the special times here in prison and to grow in my relationship with the Lord. It's my quest to change my life. That I've come to New Hope to find a new resident upon the release of the parole. You mentioned the Welcome House here in Dallas. My plea to you is to assist me in coming to the halfway house and get an application for acceptance so that I can enhance my chance for appraisal for parole where anyone in my case can come up for review on a violation of burglary. That was his that time in jail. I mean, reason for her. Back in 1995, I had a change in my way of wanting to spread the rest of my life, completely different from before. Will you please contact for me to obtain a halfway house acceptance? Humbly submitted, Arthur, and then he signed his name. So we were real thankful to be helpful like that, and I'm in the process of. of helping him get accepted into the Welcome House, which is a halfway facility that's run by a member of our church, by the way, who is African-American also, who has a construction business but at one time was incarcerated. And he come to identify with the inmates that way, and he has set up this ministry in which people can come out of jail and have a place to stay, particularly if they live far away, and they can get a wholesome environment so they're not tempted to go back into the environment they were in and be pulled down again, which is what Arthur's concern was. He was from East Texas, and he didn't want to go back to the environment that he would be faced there and be tempted to fall back in the crime again. So he wanted to get with a Christian group here that would keep him integrated into the free world again and help support him and get a job and so forth. So we're more than happy to help people who really want to go forward in their lives into a positive way, and especially, you know, with a belief in Christ and their choosing to improve their lives. So we're really glad to go the extra help when they ask for it. So we're really encouraged, and that's what keeps us going. Of course, the Lord does by encouraging us in making ways in which we go in. A lot of times we have barriers when we go in, and He opens up those barriers and let us in. And so we're encouraged also by the Lord working people's lives and working to keep our access to the prison and to the jails and to the juveniles open. And so we do thank the Lord for encouraging us as we also go in. So I appreciate you doing that, Joel, and thank you for your participation in the ministry here as well, in doing visiting both facilities. And so I'm sure you, over time, you will have experienced some of these encouragements that the juveniles and the inmates sometimes pass on to you.
So yes,
thank
we do.
For letting me participate in this program.
Oh, it's a blessing.
In this radio,
now, Brother Monroe,
in this ministry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Brother Monroe, now if someone wanted to get involved in our juvenile facility, what steps do they need to take to be certified and to be active involved in this ministry? Because there's a need.
Okay. Yeah, there is requirements, and the state sets the requirements up, and you have to go through a training program, and it's an orientation, basically, to tell you what you can do and can't do. And they have them about twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall, usually March in the spring and October in the fall. And it's about a two-hour presentation. And you sign up when you go in, a register, and then they present things that you can do and can't do. And then you have to put in an application. And the application gives your background, and they have to check on you to see that you haven't been in prison before, or that you have had a successful life after prison, because they don't want the kids or inmates to be unduly affected by somebody who is not completely, turned around for the good. And then they have to have a TB test to prove that you don't have TB, because they had some TB epidemics around here lately, this past year. And then you have to have fingerprinting, which enables him to do a background check on you. And then after you've passed all those, then you name the group you're with, then and the ministry you want to do, then they'll give you a badge. And then you're good for a year to come in. And then you have to have that renewed again through another, I think it's 2 years now, that you go before you have to be retrained again. And so that's the way you go into the juvenile system. And there's a similar system for the inmates for the state jail, where you have background checks, and you get approved by the chaplain, and then and then also through the Huntsville, which is the headquarters for all the prisons in Texas. And then they also do checks, and then you can come in. You have to get on the list, and then you can sign in when you go in every time, and that way they know you're active. And then you go in with a group usually to do certain things. So they got different ministries going in doing different things, and we're the ones that go in every Thursday night for a Bible study, and no one else does that. Other people come in through educational programs and through other religious programs, but they usually hold church services or I should say worship services, and they do other specialized teaching facilities like English and teaching. A lot of people don't speak English well, so they have English speaking classes. So there's different ways in which one can volunteer. Others are from victims groups, which tells the inmates, you know, the impact of a crime that's committed against them, so they can see what happens when they commit crimes, how it really hurts other people. So they testify to that. So there's victim classes as well to incur and let the inmates know the impacts that happen when they do commit a crime. So there are different ways to participate, but most of them, a lot of them are religious, and so there are different ways of doing those. So, but we're glad that we can come in because most of us feel like we get a lot of church training, and a lot of church encouragement to witness to our faith, but we don't have many opportunities or don't make many opportunities for doing this. Whereas in these ministries here, you have a regular opportunity to witness for your faith every week or every month, however often you go in. And so you've learned to practice speaking your faith and how to share it. And we have materials that we create that help people who haven't done that very much to work along to learn how to do that. And so we give handouts every time so people can have something they can read. And we give out Bibles, and we give out materials to help them study the Bible. So both the juvenile and the inmates. And so we try to encourage people, both new volunteers as well as older volunteers, with different materials periodically to help them keep it fresh and keep it interesting in their presentations to the juveniles especially. So that's what we try to do, and the Lord is always working in our group to facilitate that, and that's always encouraging. And so as we go over time, these volunteers become brothers to us that we get to know in a very, very deep way. So we pray a lot for one another, for whatever reasons of whatever problems we have in our daily lives, as well as for the ministry itself.
Amen.
So thank
Amen.
You, Brother Monroe, for your participation in all this.
Well, God bless you. It's a joy and a privilege. I'm looking forward to seeing you later on today. We're going over to one of our juvenile facilities and continually to encourage our young men and women through the word of God. Let them know that God hadn't forgot about them, that he loves them.
Amen to that. Great, great. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you later today, too. Thank you for your efforts there.
Oh, God bless you. Brother Monroe, this has been a great interview, and we want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. You could have been doing a lot of other things, but you took time out to share with our listening audience the joy and the joy and the need for being a part of this ministry. Because there's a joy and there's a great need. And we know that God is able, so we ask you to continue to do what God laid on your heart and to be an encouragement
sure
to our brothers. Okay, go right ahead.
I'm just saying I want to thank you for your radio ministry, and I know it's a great blessing for those who listen in to hear how different people are able to witness their faith and how they're getting encouraged by that process. And so I just want to mention that it's a step of faith to step out to witness, but the Lord really does mature one and really does show fruit in your efforts. So I would encourage everybody to find a way in which they can regularly express their faith in a ministry.
Amen, amen. Well, Brother Monroe, you have a blessed day, and we'll be talking soon.
All right. Thank you, Joel, for you, and God bless you, and thank you for your radio ministry as well.
God bless you.
All
amen.
Right.
What a great interview we had with Brother Monroe there. Amen. Amen. That Brother Monroe, as he was encouraging us to be involved in ministry, as he's encouraging us to just keep on doing what God allowed us to do. Amen. Amen. And as we want to thank
Hello.
You for sharing that there with us. Brother Monroe, we'll dial you by mistake, but we're out of here. Thank you, sir. Amen.
All right. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen, amen. We having some fun this morning with our phone here. We end up dialing our guest back twice. I guess that's just confirmation. But we want to thank God for our guests and as they make themselves available. And, you know, I'm human. Like our guest said earlier, sometimes we make mistakes, but it's a challenge. And it's a joyful challenge. And guess what? Because sometimes God said, how much do you love me? I said, God, you know I love you. He said, how much do you love me? He said, I know I love you. Well, God, you know what's going on? He said, well, do you love and keep doing what you're doing? Because God is going to straighten it out. And our guests are making a difference in this program. Brittany Table, a young lady that God have anointed for such a time as this, and she's willing to share her experience with other young people on how they can pursue their goal and how they can achieve their goal in life. Brittany Table is a reporter for a local magazine here in Dallas County, but yet God is using her mightily. She could be doing a lot of other things with her resources, but she's giving back. We thank God for that. Brother Monroe been doing jail and prison ministry for a number of years. He had some ups and he had some downs, but he's still making himself available to be used by God. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Say, God, what would you have me to do? When I go down to the jail and the juvenile center, we say this little prayer. God, open my eyes that I can see your hand at work in my life. God, open my ears that I can hear you. God, make me the person that you want me to be. You know, not my will, Lord. Let your will be done. God, guess what? We tried it our way, and it don't work. It don't work. But if you try God's way, he will never fail you. Nor forsake you. Oh, it's been a great show this morning. We pray that you'll be blessed. We pray that you tell somebody about us. You know, say, hey, man, there's a show that comes on there. They come on there with a guest that's making a difference in people's life. Listen to them, and maybe you could be encouraged. Even if you don't get involved in ministries right now, the ministry opportunities are available. And as our last guest stated, that God, he give us witnessing tools. And as we go to church and as we go to Sunday school and we've been filled by the Holy Ghost and been filled by scriptures that's making a difference in our life, if it changed your life, surely it'll change someone else's life. Tell somebody about the Gospels. You know, share your experience with and without God. Tell them that your life is greater, like Enoch. You know, he knew God before and he knew God afterwards, but his life was greater. And they said Enoch had a family, he had a wife, and he had children, and yet he still held on to God's unchanging hand. And in the book of Hebrews, it said a young man named Noah lived in a wicked generation, but yet he found favor with God because in spite of everything going on around him, he still was serving a true and living God. My sister, my brother, in spite of everything going on, we still can serve a true and living God. Yes, it's crazy out there. Yes, I'm exposed to some craziness, but I don't have to be a part of those things. You can break that cycle of sin and shame right now, you know, by being available to be used by God. And once you are restored, once you get a sense of confidence and assurance in your life, that God is working wonders, look back and help somebody. I would like to share more with you regarding that, but I don't have time. This show is about to wind down. Again, I'd like to thank you. Thank you, Sister Beverly LaChandra, for sponsoring this program. Thank you for allowing us to come on here each and every week. Thank you for the guest, Brittany Table. She was a great guest today. Thank you, Brother Monroe. He was a great guest. And guess what? You're a great listening audience. I will never leave this show without saying thank you for being a part of our weekly internet broadcast. You can go back and listen to this show and share this show with your friends at blog talk radio/Granny's Place. That's our archive section. You can look it up for the day's date at June 16th, and you can see the title of this show here. Will be Brittany and Brother Monroe will be our speakers, and you can listen to their show, and you can share it. And we pray that something was said through this program that give you a desire to be involved in ministry, because that's what this is all about. This is all about. This show is to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be. And as we get ready to get out of here, we want to honor God, our Lord, and say, precious Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day, this time, this hour, dear Lord. As we get ready to depart from this here program, dear Lord, we ask you to be in the midst of. We ask you to continually to watch over us, continue to allow us to be the men and women which you're calling for at such a time as this. Dear Lord, let what we're doing here, let it make a difference in someone's life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
There is a word especially for you.